Now, let me come to our study again today, and this chapter is so remarkable. We've seen part of the gospel here. Paul says, I make known unto you emphatically the good news that Christ died, he was buried. He didn't vanish or disappear. The body was placed in a tomb. Now, what else could be raised from the dead? He hath been raised. He rose again. And Jesus lives today. Now, these are the historical facts. And the gospel's not theories, not ideas, not a religion. The resurrection is part of the gospel, and this is what Paul preached. Now, again, this was the experience of the Corinthians. Now, the gospel is objective. Experience is subjective. He said, you've received it. Now, what does it mean to receive Christ? Well, John says in John 1:11-12, he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more nor less than just simply believe in his name. What does it mean to receive Christ? He says, here they've received it means to believe on his name. Now he says to them here that wherein ye stand, that's their present state. Where do you stand today? Standing today in a living faith and a living Savior. And now he says to them, you're saved. Now the gospel does not save in the sense that it's just a head knowledge and it's sort of, you know, nodding to these facts. It's not the efficient and final cause. Christ saves. Somebody says it's faith in Christ. Absolutely. But it's through the gospel, by means of these facts, and you accept them, then you've received Christ and you're saved. Or Spurgeon put it, it's not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It's not thy hope in Christ that saves thee. It's Christ. And it's not even thy faith in Christ, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit that saves. And we're saved now. He says, this is what we preached unto you. You received it. You stand in it. And you're saved. But he says, unless you believed in vain, and that means you believed without a cause. Your faith does not rest upon the facts. There's no effect. It's not genuine conversion. You see, this idea that faith has some merit in it, it doesn't. It's who you believe. That's important. And we have here, therefore, the fact that they have trusted a Savior who died, was buried, and rose again. Now he says there's some witnesses to that. And also, there is the fulfillment of Scripture. They did it according to the Scripture. And my, how wonderful that was. You can go through the Scripture again and again. That was Enoch. He walked with God. He didn't die. God took him. What a hope. One of these days, I'm going to be walking. That is, if the Lord will come in my lifetime, I don't know that he will. But if he does, I'll be walking somewhere. And then I'll take a step on this earth, and the next step I take will be in his presence. What a thrill. You tell me that doesn't give purpose and direction to life? And there's so many passages that teach the resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament. Psalm 16, Isaiah 25. May I say there was Psalm 22 that we looked at and Isaiah 53. They all teach it. And the Mosaic system, a sacrificial system, the death of the animal and the blood and the great day of atonement with the two goats. One was delivered for our offenses, the other raised for our justification. And in the ark, there was Aaron's rod that budded. And then we have the book of Jonah that teaches resurrection. And the Old Testament closes. He's going to send Elijah before that great day. Then there were these witnesses, Cephas, the 12, the 500, James, all the apostles, then Paul. Paul says he's born out of due season. That is, not a late birth, he's an abortion, he's a premature birth. He's a picture of that remnant that's going to be saved after the church is removed. Now Paul says, so we preached, and so ye believed. And he says here, after giving a word concerning himself, he says, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't think so. And somebody says, you believe the Bible, don't you? Yes, but Paul's very modest here. I'm the least of the apostles. And when Paul said that, that was an honest statement. And the inspiration guarantees that that's a statement came from his heart. But you see, my heart says, Paul, you are a great one. That am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He considered himself the chief of sinners. But he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. It wasn't an empty thing. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul apparently was the hardest worker of any of the apostles. But very candidly, he said it was the grace of God that enabled him to do it. Verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, this is the gospel. And today, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm weary today. Oh, I have had it up to here. And I'm pulling my hand right above my nose, right in my eyes. I've had it up to here. I'm tired of men talking about being Christians and denying the facts of the gospel. You are something else, but you're not a Christian. You deny the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. You have a perfect right to deny them. You have no right to call yourself a Christian. And that's not my statement. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here. So we preach, and so ye believe.